and thanks for joining us at Once When I Was Cool, a podcast about mediocrity in all its glory. My name's Dave, and joining me through the internet again, we can't be in the same room because we live too far apart, my little mate, Wee. How are you, Wee?
Yeah, hey, Dave. Doing well. It's not that we can't be in the same room. It's just, I think it's a distant thing, and it's probably better that we're not. It's not as... the air's much better when we're not together. I think we feed off each other.
Not as close. It's interesting. You can always tell listening back to the old episodes where we've batch recorded and recorded five or six episodes in a row of how flat and how short we're getting with each other. The banter, the witty banter seems to drop away pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just, I like the face-to-face. Just can't stand the stench.
So I mean, well, it was like we finally managed to get in the same room a few weeks ago, probably last episode, depending on when we put them out. I can't even remember what the episode was, but we were, when we were both lying on the floor in Ruby's lounge room because I forgot to pack the mic stand, so we're laying with our heads on pillows on the side, not able to touch the microphone because it clunked too much. So this is probably a little bit better quality.
It sort of reminded me of Jabba the Hutt, but there was two of them and one really small one.
Yeah,
and one really big one.
And no dancing girls.
No dancing girls, and probably smelt like Jabba's hideout too.
Yeah, well, it was the atmosphere was a bit unsafe, I would think.
Yeah, no, it was. It wasn't great. And look, at the end, I remember what it was. We were talking about Gen Z and the differences between Gen Z and,
that's right.
and us.
I paused it in between and then we lost about 10 minutes worth of stuff we had to go back over again.
Which it probably wasn't a bad thing because, I think we got
a bit deep, I remember.
Too deep. We were in a hole that I think we would keep going down in. Actually, I think sharing real feelings in that. Yeah. So I'm glad that it didn't record.
It was late at night and we were tired and emotional.
Very emotional. Anyway, I suppose when we're talking about all the stench and everything, it's around the unsafe and safe working environment. So I suppose that brings us into today's episode, which we've had a bit of a backwards and forwards about, but Dave, when I was cool, we had or lacked safety. And when I talk about safety, I'm not talking about, walking through the park at night, although that's probably one thing. I mean, I know you like to walk through parks at night, but the judge said you had to stop it. Yeah, that's right. It's more around, I'm talking about the OH&S type of things and, workplace safety, life safety, versus being wrapped up in cotton wool these days versus the things we used to do, I suppose, when we were cool. Looking at lots of things that we've talked about previously, say, for example, our And you would have heard if you're a new listener, if you go back to some of our original podcasts we've talked about, and my younger brother, who I think he was like a crash test dummy, really, I think it was more about survival for him. it was like Hunger Games crossed with Crash Test Dummy. Crossed with something else.
Sounds like you grew up pretty tough, but I guess the other thing is we're not just
nothing wrong with that, mate.
We're just not only talking about workplace safety, but we live in that sort of nanny state now where everybody's telling us what's good for us. We're not allowed to drink so much. We're only allowed to drink so much. We're not allowed to smoke or vape, as you will attest to. You can't eat this thing. You shouldn't eat this and you should eat that. And then, the vegans are all the ones that are saving the planet until you find out how bean curd's actually made and they just obliterate everything but the bean curd itself. And, sort of goes on and on. And you sometimes have to wonder, are we actually safer for the benefit of ourselves? And, being a healthcare worker, I sort of look at, we've just come through a pandemic. Well, kind of come through it. We're still we're still sort of reaping those wonderful rewards at the moment, where we're still stuck in masks and the like. And you know, the incidence of it hasn't really declined so much. It's sort of better than it was, but I tend to wonder if there's less incidence of the COVIDs, or is it just that we just don't pay as much attention to it anymore because it's not considered as deadly?
I think it's more around that there's bigger things on the news that we worry about, and it's not the fad. Look, as you said, we both work in healthcare, and we've seen the realism of it. You know, people still don't believe it existed, blah blah blah, yeah. All of that sort of stuff.
Well, not even that. So much. I mean, remember when we were worried about the plastic straws that kill the turtles, and now we look at the masks that we wear. And how many masks a day? Do you still wear masks?
No, we haven't. Mm. The only time we need to wear masks is if we have come into close contact with someone. Mm. And essentially, if you've got a bit of a flu, you just wear a mask as you would anyway.
Well, in any sort of clinical space, any place that there's going to be patients or close sort of contact, we're still wearing masks down here. We're still wearing surgical masks. Yeah. And, you know, personally, when I do a clinical shift and do a 12-hour shift, I would easily go through minimum six to eight to 10 maybe, depending on how many you go through. And I could probably wear more, but you have a look at those bins that are just overflowing, and you know, we worry about the environment, but that thin layer of plastic in them is still going out. And we used to worry about cigarettes and cigarette butts and those types of things in the street. You see far more squashed out masks around Hobart these days than you do cigarette butts, although there's still plenty of them around. But we'll get off that. Going back to safety, thinking about, do you mow your lawns? You use a push mower, you don't use a ride-on mower?
Yeah, I use a push mower and a whippersnipper.
Yeah.
And can I tell you, my whippersnipper, or what do they call it?
Weed whacker
weed whacker.
Yeah.
I've actually taken the, you know how it's got the protective shield at the back to stop it from
whipping your legs.
Mine's gone. I've taken mine off because you get.
Because why wouldn't you?
You get a better cut with it. Yeah. The string can come out longer.
Yep.
You can get a better cut. Closer to the edging is a lot better, you know.
So when you do that yard work, what sort of things do you wear on your feet?
Depends on the day. I sometimes think that I need to put closed-in shoes like joggers on.
Yeah.
You know, at times I wear safety socks and Crocs. Crocs or thongs.
Yeah.
And thongs being flip flops for our American, Northern Hemisphere friends.
Yeah.
Safety. Crocs.
I've always worn shoes, but admittedly, I do wear Crocs as well because I find them lighter and easy enough to walk around. You can just slip them on and off in a hurry. But it's amazing. Yep. Back in the day, you used to always only ever wear the closed-in shoes, the best closed-in shoes you wore for any job, whether it be digging a hole or mowing the lawn or doing any of those sorts of things, was maybe a pair of Dunlop Volleys because they were the all-rounder shoes.
Yep.
Or at worst, you'd wear a pair of thongs or flip-flops. But you still see those maniacs around there that mow in barefoot, and I've never been that sort of person that can do that.
Well, one, I don't mow in bare feet because, as you know, my feet are horrendous. So I think I'd break the lawnmower if I actually ran over my feet because they're horrendous. But it's more because I'd find it uncomfortable from stepping on prickles. That's the only reason I probably wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Bindies or whatever.
Or treading in dog poops.
No, I always got to pick the landmines up. You never mow without checking the landmines because you know about it soon enough. Like I not having the protection on the back of my weed whacker whippersnipper, it does flick more rocks up into your shins. So I'll come in and I don't have any rocks, but I tend to find
the only rocks
that are around.
Mm.
And it hits me in the shin, and I end up coming in, and I think I'm sweating, and it's just blood down my leg.
Have you
and
ever
been on blood thinners now? It's great.
Keeps going and going. And tell me, when you hit the rocks, how many windows have you busted?
Well, I haven't busted any, but I do have between our back patio and some cement, it's about a foot or 30 centimeters worth of those round sort of, river rock and things like that. So you can't really pick them up, but occasionally parts of it will break off and you won't know. And the next minute you'll just hear, because of the iron fence, you just hear this bang and you're going, or it'll hit the shed. But the last place where we lived, I walked into one of the boys' rooms and there was a hole and a crack through the window because the neighbor they hit a rock on the whippersnipper, hit their house and shot back across and went through the window like a bullet and broke all the glass up. So yeah, I've done that occasionally, and I used to always make sure I'd move the cars. I don't even bother doing that much anymore.
Yeah, well, I've been in a similar situation, but I've not been so fortunate. And you've seen my place where I am now. I've got a big open paddock, but I managed to hit a rock one day that's broken the side garage window. So one of the windows on the side of the garage there's got a hole in the bottom of the window at the moment. And you know how I fixed it? I've
And
put a
duct
box
tape.
nut, put a box of grass seed in front of it, and pretend I can't see it.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So,
Nice.
but I reckon every house I've lived in, I've shattered a window either more probably with a lawnmower than anything else. But when they come whizzing out, it's really something else. What about eye protection and ear protection, hearing protection? Do you ever wear them?
I have to wear glasses to see properly, so near enough's good enough. Ear protection, no, I don't, but
See, I don't
it's
like
more
being
that
up. Yeah, sorry.
I was just going to say I'm just the sound of the lawnmower just drowns out any misery that I have going on in my life at the time. So I like the dull sound. And as far as I'm concerned, really, the only time I've ever really worn hearing protection is occasionally when I'm grinding metal. That's about it. Just little earplugs, and then half the time I don't put them in.
Well, I'm the same. I've always considered wearing glasses to be good enough protection. And I do wear hearing protection, but that's just because I don't like to be alone with my thoughts. And so I always have music or a podcast or something like that going. So I've actually got a pair of proper rated headphones at the moment that are Bluetooth as well. But I tell you think the safety precautions are there. Have you ever had a corneal abrasion? And that's basically over the coloured part of your eye, above the iris of your eye, is a scratch on the eyeball itself.
No.
I reckon I've seen 1,000 people come through emergency departments with them, and I always thought, oh, what's the big deal? It can't be that bad. But until you've had one, and I got one just around my normal glasses, and until you get one, mate, you don't know what it's like. It's just that painful. And it's one of those things that you get a bit of metal in there and it doesn't seem to come out, or a bit of plastic or something like that. And it's just ongoing misery.
Yeah, look, I have to say I've been fortunate with my eyes. Yeah, look, I need glasses to see properly, but I've never really had the worst eye injury. I had was back in my early days of nursing, is and I didn't need glasses then, but I had a pair of basically Ray-Ban safety glasses that I used to wear when I was assisting in theatre, which pretty much hugged my eyes, so it stopped any body fluids and everything going in. Although I was actually scrubbed for a C-section, and the anaesthetist who was putting the epidural in had drawn it up and squirted it, and the actual squirted when I said squirted it squirted the local anaesthetic that goes in for the epidural, and it came up in the air over the top of my glass, which was meant to hug my eyes, and into my eye. So as you can imagine, one, stung my eye, two, dilated it up and looked like I was some sort of freak. But of course it just a drop straight into it. But yeah, it was that's the only real sort of eye injury I could say I've had, but
Yeah.
you know, like you, working in emergency department, you know, eye injuries. I've seen blown out eyes and things like that,
Well,
as you have. And
I've had a corneal tear. I got
you.
that a couple of years ago, where the back lining of your eye comes away from the eyeball. Basically, it comes through, and I got a little tear in that, and that was interesting. That was about 3 or 4 months worth of unenjoyment. But yeah, no, it's interesting. I was just interested to see, because you go out now and you see all the people working for the council, or people within the parks areas that are mowing and doing those sorts of things. They've got all the gear on. They've got the gaiters over their boots and their socks. They've all got the safety boots on, with the steel caps. They've got the goggles, or they've got the headphones and all those sorts of things. And and the other one is the sun protection. They've all got to wear long sleeve shirts and
Yeah.
gloves and sun protections and big broad
Hats,
brim
yeah.
hats. And yeah, no, it's amazing. Do you remember going out in the sun when you were a kid? I don't ever. I remember
Or
having.
now, or now.
I remember having a I don't ever remember having too many hats when I was a little kid. I'm sure I probably did. But the worst one were the sun visors that we've talked about in the past. You put a sun visor on, I don't see the point of them. It sort of keeps the sun off your front of your face, but yeah, it'd get sunburned. Especially now, if I was going to wear one, it'd look ridiculous.
It'd look like an egg, but then an
Yeah.
egg that had been painted red
It'd be like that. It'd be like that
after being
Boba
in the
Fett.
sun.
Be like that Boba Fett helmet on your shirt that you're wearing there, the red thing
Yeah.
across the eyes, and then nothing above the top of it. It'd be ludicrous. But interesting what the hats
Correct.
were. Do you remember the hats that used to be what were called the Legionnaires' hats, which were like a cap with the long bit of cloth down the back?
Yeah. Down the back.
Yeah,
And look,
they're.
I can be honest and tell you I never had one of those.
Oh, I did.
Never.
I had one. I remember that my dad had a friend who was a builder. And he had a whole heap of those hats made, and it had the name of the builders. And then underneath, the slogan was, "There's nothing like a good erection."
Nice.
And I thought that was
Nice.
hilarious when I think I was about 11. I'm not even sure I'd
Now.
fully understood what it meant. Well, I still have a chuckle at it now when I think about it. But you never see them
But
anymore, and those sorts of safety hats. But you got the big, broad brim sort of ones, and everything's got to have high vis on it. It's like people don't look for anybody anymore.
no, see, high vis, and this is one of my bugbears these days. High vis is now a staple part of people's wardrobe, and you look at some of these people, and you know they haven't been working. They're in the shops doing their shopping on a Saturday, high vis, or pushing their pram down the side of a road with high vis on. And I'm like, these people, one, don't look like they've worked a day in their life, and they got high vis on. I just don't understand when high vis has now become the everyday staple.
It's
And
just
look,
become viz.
well, it's sort of like it's urban camouflage, really, isn't it? When you think about it, you know, I just look at it and go, you go to the shops to do your food shopping on a Saturday morning or a Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, but especially on a Saturday, these guys aren't out working. They've just gone to the shops in their high vis. I don't understand it, but anyway, it's not for me. People can wear whatever they like.
And then
I'm
you got
thinking
the high
about getting
vis.
some high vis. Yeah,
And then you got the high vis that's got those reflective
reflector on
stripes
it.
on it as well. And that's the sort of the next step.
I'm waiting for them to put lights in them so that
Yeah.
when you turn in a
Well,
when you turn in a corner, it will stop and the brake
yeah.
lights come on. Some of them need it.
I'm waiting to see a set of camo high vis. You know, that camo design in
Oh,
high vis, you can get it in blue and
nice.
green and all sorts of things. I'm sure they must do it in a high vis type thing.
Look, I've got a set of scrubs from one of the tradie places that I wear on Friday for Fun Scrubs Friday, and it's a mental health shirt, but I wear that every couple of weeks on a Friday. But it's sort of like a high vis tie dye. It's just got
Okay.
it's not high vis, it's more a fluorescent
Yeah.
sort of colors and stuff like that tie dye. So,
Yeah. So just to make
but yeah.
the schizophrenic that sees a shirt just floridly more psychotic.
Well, put it this way, I've had people come to me and say, oh, I've heard about your shirt. So if it's from other areas, so
Yeah.
whatever.
Okay. All
Anyway,
right. That's something else.
good.
So back to building sites, do you remember seeing all the pictures of, in the olden days of the people, of the blokes, usually on, well, I always assume it to
roofs.
be a New York, no, well, a New York skyline sitting on the big girder that's just freely hanging, and there's like eight of them sitting on a girder either side of it, eating their lunch with their feet just dangling over, and there's no sign of safety ropes or wires or high vis or helmet. They might be wearing a helmet, although if you fell at it from that height with a helmet, I don't know what helmet's going to do for you. Hopefully hit the ground first.
I think it was more about the guy above you dropping a wrench.
Well, yeah, they never had any of there was never anything to retain any of their tools or anything like that. But now you very rarely see an iron girder being lifted like that anyway. It's more a concrete or something like that, and they tend to pour it on the spot. But you just never see people walking anywhere near those things. I mean, they shut the footpath and close down the road and do all those sorts of things now as well.
Yeah, they do. The other thing you don't see anymore on a building site, well, you probably do, but not as much. And if OH&S did a round, is the dudes with their footy shorts on, and their joggers, and no t-shirt, no hat, no nothing. And it's, you know, in the middle of summer in Australia. These guys are, you know, building houses with their tool belt on and their footy shorts on.
Yeah.
And maybe, if you're lucky, a set of joggers. And,
yeah,
you well, know, you just look at them now as you're going past and going, oh,
yeah,
that's just been ridiculous. In the health industry, and we know what that's going to mean.
Well, yeah, and we're older as well, so we have that understanding of consequence. But it's also interesting on that note of seeing people, especially in Queensland where you are in summer, that people are on the high speed motorbikes, you know, on those motorbikes and go stupidly fast in a helmet, a fully slick proper helmet, and then wearing a singlet or a tank top and a pair of shorts and maybe a pair
and
of thongs or something like that. And it's like, man, your head's the least of your worries when you're on that thing. You come off, you're losing all layers of skin.
Well, it's more, they'd be peeling off skin for kilometres. Just as long as you don't hit your head when you're pulling all your limbs off from the road.
Mm.
Look, it's a bit like anything. You know, you look now, the first thing you do when you get in a car is put a seatbelt on.
Mm.
How many times did you remember not wearing a seatbelt or sitting in the back of a ute or in the back of the station wagon? I know you've talked about it.
Lying down on a mattress on the way on holidays because the old man wanted to leave at 2 a.m. or something.
Correct.
To beat all that traffic out in Western New South Wales in the late 70s because there was a lot of it.
Yeah. the traffic when truck coming from, see one truck every 30 minutes, not every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're looking at that and even talking about helmets, look at the helmet technology these days. You know, back in the day, I actually had, when I used to ride a motorbike, I had an open face helmet. And if I was lucky, I had a set of goggles that had a plastic, like a hockey mask. And that was only sometimes.
Mm.
The Sicilian Ninja, when he used to ride, had an open face helmet with a clear sun visor on it. And all that did was stop a couple of bugs, but and he used to ride in t-shirt and shorts and a helmet and a pair of work boots when he used to, if he was doing something around town or something, that was his motorbike attire.
Well, talking about seatbelts and things, I don't know how people manage, and they've had a big blitz in Tasmania just recently about people not wearing seatbelts. And I don't know how people get into a car and, you know, please let us know oncewascoolpodcast@gmail.com if that's your thing of getting in the car and not putting on your seatbelt, whether you do it deliberately or whether you forget. But Delilah and I just stopped at the bins, and our driveway is a bit over 200 yards long and our bins are down at the front. We stopped and fixed up the bins because it was bin night. The rubbish got collected this morning and I just happened to notice that we both got in. We were coming into the house, so we'd stopped just inside the gate. And we both got in, and first thing we did was put our seatbelts on to drive up our driveway that nobody else was likely to come the other way. But it's just an automatic reaction.
It's that. But what I also don't get is with the cars these days, the amount of beeping it does if you don't put it on. Mm. I wouldn't be able to tolerate going to the driving to the corner without it beeping.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's an automatic thing, and I think it's just what people do. I actually get quite irate when I see, especially kids in the back seat of cars at lights, and they're running around in the back seat, or the mother's in the back holding them. And I just think, that's just, and I suppose it's from the work we do too. And as you know, working in emergency departments, you get all sorts of people that,
Oh yeah. Well, we cater to all manner of idiocy, so yeah.
I suppose at the end of the day, it's, well, the funny thing is, and I was talking to you about this the other week, they're doing some construction work at my workplace at the moment, and they've cut down some trees. And I was watching the guy with the wood chipper, the tree chipper, and I was calling in one of the other guys I work with. I was just waiting for this guy to get pulled in because he looked like he had no idea, and he kept leaning into it to push the trees in. The other guy's yelling at him to stop, and he's just keep doing it. I'm just called one of the other staff members, and I said, "Look at this! Watch this guy get eaten up in a minute by this wood chipper." I was just waiting for the just the pink mist, the red mist was going poof and just going through.
And that's the
It
thing
would have
with
been.
wood chippers. You people seem to think you got to push it through, but you don't. Once it's got a hold of it, it just pulls it through itself.
I was
And it
watching this guy, and the other guy before him was trying to tell him how to do it and how he had to push the button to do things. And the other thing is they had their safety helmets on with the built-on ear
earmuffs.
protection, and they all had their earmuffs turned up.
So they look like a moose.
Yeah, so and I'm just thinking, I was laughing. I thought, I was just waiting for this guy to get sucked into this. Someone to turn around and start looking for him, and you just see the red mist just poof into the back. Would have
Under the
been
back of the
horrific,
truck.
yet horrific, yet
But
funny.
I bet they would have still sold those wood chips because they're worth a bit of money.
Oh, well, it's
Oh, they
natural
get
blood and bone, isn't
natural growing medium.
Yeah, absolutely natural growing medium. But I look, and I've spoken about it probably in previous episodes. My Working on the farm when I was growing up, we never wore respirators when we were spraying. We used to sit on the actual mud guard of the tractors and just hang on to the side of them. So if you can picture the mud guard on a tractor, not like they are today, back in the day, they only covered half the wheel. So you'd go and you'd be hanging your
Was
hand
just to
out the
stop you
side.
getting flicked with mud.
Yeah, and it was just, you'd have your hand out the side, letting the bloody rubber tire hit your hand on the all the way, and the PDOs, which is the
Power
which drove a
takeoff.
lot of the yeah the used to drive a lot of the machinery, was open. These days they're all covered and everything, but if you used to catch your clothes, it'd rip your clothes off or rip you. People have lost arms and legs and died from getting caught in PTOs. And there'd be one kid on one side, another kid on the other side, someone sitting on my dad's lap while he's going through. And then he's trying to be, we're heading down roads and up different rows of
Well, how many times did you go out to somebody's farm and they'd stack all the kids into the back of the ute, into the back of the utility, sitting in the tray there, no anything, and they'd just rattle along. The only person that was covered in was the person driving, and maybe there was one other person in the front. Way before the times of dual cab utes or anything like that, it was always just a single bench seat across the front, no one wearing seat belts, just going through the thing, and it was always the kids that sat in the back. And the kids, or you'd hang out and have a look at things, or you'd try and get the wind to blow in your hair, or you'd hang your hand out and make it do those sorts of up and down dolphin sorts of moves and those sorts of things. Or you'd stand up in the back and have your head over the top so you could see over the front of the cab while you were driving along. No one said anything, no one cared. But I
Nah,
reckon a lot of
they'd wave
people.
to you. You'd wave to the other kids coming the other way.
And
But
God help
the
you
other.
if you got scared and you thought you were going to fall out or die or something like that, because you just got mocked for sure.
You learned pretty quick where you could and couldn't sit. I remember going up a. I was sitting on the back and I thought, oh, I'm just going to shoot on the side. I jumped on. And then when I hit the first lot of tomato trellis with my legs and just about knocked me and dragged me off, I thought, never do that again. And I never did. So I learned that pretty early on. The other thing is we used to have like old farm clunkers. Now, these were vehicles that were usually they were just the bonnet, no mud guards on the front, and then usually just the front driver's seat, maybe sometimes a passenger seat, and then basically next to it was just a big plank bed off the back. So it was like a ute that just came all the way through. And that's where you'd when you were picking out in say on tomato fields or in the grapes, you just start picking and you'd stack up in on the back of these. And that's like a utility. Then you take them up and you take them into the sorting sheds. But I tell you, the only person who ever did okay in those vehicles, and a lot of the time they were just unbearably unsafe, but the splinters in the back of them from the old wood, and you'd be sitting on the back, and whoever's driving would always be trying to flick somebody off the back when there was no food on there, and it was, or you'd go out into the paddock and start doing donuts and figure eights and trying to do who can go the fastest around different tracks that you made around the house and around the paddocks and stuff.
Well, I remember you used to go along the beach, and if someone had a four-wheel drive, especially if they had a tow ball, you'd get like a Hessian bag or something like that and drive down as close as you could to the water with a long bit of rope, and you'd sit on it. And so, like you do now with the sea biscuits, well, what are they called? Those bit things that go behind the boats that you sit in, something biscuit, a sea bit, is it a sea biscuit or the little floaty
I
things
don't
that you
know.
sit on behind and people sit
Sea
in them and
biscuit, I
baffle?
think, is something different.
That was a horse, isn't
A
it?
sea biscuit, I think it's sea biscuit is something different.
No, I'll look it up on Urban Dictionary later. I
No.
don't know what it is. Is that what you're
Yeah.
referring to? Okay. No, I don't
Yeah,
know. It's
probably.
some sort of thing that you sit on behind it and it drags you along, and the person in the boat tries to go as fast as they can, then flick you off. But we used to, I'm sure we used to do
Oh,
it
the
on
blow
like,
up things.
yeah, something like that. But we used
Yeah.
to do that on a Hessian bag, and sometimes if there was an old boogie board or something like that, and
Yeah.
you never had anything on it, and it was up to you to try and make sure you stayed on it, because if you held onto the rope and they took off and your Hessian bag or whatever it was stayed behind, you soon lost a fair bit
Didn't
of
go
skin.
with you.
Well, you lost a fair bit of skin off your ass pretty quickly. But this is the other thing. And then you'd get dragged along, and suddenly a wave had come in and all your momentum had stopped, but you're still hanging onto the arm. How we still had shoulders in the sockets, I'll never know. But it was always these sorts of things, and no one ever thought twice about it. No,
Well, I
and
suppose
not to think of other traffic coming the other way as well, which you couldn't see because you were right behind the thing.
the thing is, you know, it unless it was out of shape, so it was broken, or you were really bleeding and it couldn't stop it, or you got knocked out, you never, and like I've said in and I suppose we've talked about this not longer. We never went to the hospital. We'd go down to the ambulance, and they'd patch us up, and then we'd go home. The other thing is, you know, I look at a lot of the things that we did when we were young compared to now. You know, imagine someone recording what we did as kids back then and uploading it. And I've mentioned this before. There's campaigns. If it's flooded, forget it, not to cross the road. We used to take tires up in the floods. We were looking forward to the floods so we could get in the on the tubes and go down the creeks. We never got pulled out by anyone. It was if you fell off, good luck. And we'd go from one end of a creek all the way through the main street, well, the main town. The creek that went through the main town, and you're going over weirs and everything. It was, you know, you'd look at that now, you'd be arrested. You'd actually be charged with some sort of, or the SES would be rescuing you with a helicopter.
Oh, yeah, be hit for trespassing or something like that as well.
Yeah. And I look at that and I go, you know, yeah, okay. It was, I don't know. I think it's just
Well, what about, did
what
you ever
doesn't kill
have,
you makes you stronger.
yeah, well,
There
not polio.
is that. No.
So, well,
Definitely not
you have
polio.
mentioned that this series for a long time.
No, you know, it's one of those diseases that's making a comeback.
But did you ever, I remember in the town that I went to high school in, which is a different town as well, We were allowed after school sport. I think school sport was on a Tuesday or a Thursday like that, and it'd always be the afternoon. So you'd have lunch and then you'd go to school sport. And of course, in summertime, it was always just swimming. So you'd all cart yourselves down to the pool, and then they'd just let you find your own way back. I don't know how, what the, where the duty of care was there, but we sort of wandered down. And I remember we used to go through all the big, because this town was inland and had a river there, they'd always had big stormwater outlets and things like that. And in summer, when it was dry, obviously not when it was raining, but we used to go and explore all these stormwater drains in our school sports uniforms and do this. No one knew where we were. No one knew what we were doing. At one point, it got so dark, we all talked to each other and talked ourselves into getting torches or flashlights for our northern friends. We used to carry them with us and go down and go exploring these bloody Gungie stormwater drains, and there was never anything stopping you going in. There was never anything there. There was
Except the mole man that lived there.
well, or the hobos in the streets and things like that, because they had to live somewhere. But now you go wandering down them, and now they make ghost videos about all these things and see all these weird things in there. We never saw anything. It was just big and dark and stinky. But we thought we were the greatest adventurers since the Famous Five, or one of those sorts of things. And
Yeah.
we thought we were the great explorers of the unknown, not realizing that somebody's built this massive corrugated iron and concrete thing. And we'd go exploring every Tuesday afternoon. We did this for about 3 months, and no one ever came looking for us. No one ever told us not to.
No.
No one. It was not far out of the center of town, so nobody ever said, "Hey, don't do that," or anything like that. I'm sure people saw us going in there, but yeah, never anything. And
Never, never found it.
we just kept going until we lost interest in it. And one time, and then we'd stop and go and buy hot chips or something like that and did something else, and we had to catch the bus or something like that. But yeah, I don't know how we ever got away with it or how it was safe. But like I said, there were no fences, no grates stopping anything. It was just this big open chasm. And it was
Was there a
easily,
sign saying don't go in there?
I don't rec well, if there was,
No.
we didn't take any notice of it. There was plenty of spray paint and graffiti in there. But it was
Yeah.
easily 5 meters, so what's that, 15 feet high, like 15 feet
Yeah.
diameter. And yeah, you just go in it, and that was all there was to it. And so, not diameter, circumference, whatever it is, the line across the middle.
Yep.
So
Diameter.
yeah, so I don't know how that ever happened, but we were the great explorers, and we go and have a look, and then there was nothing in there.
I
I don't know
told you the
where our
story
teachers
about,
were.
yeah, I told you the story about we got me and a friend of mine got left behind at the school camp. We had to walk back through town. Did I tell you that?
No.
So we were on our year 11 biology camp, and me and my friend and this friend I will call Gibbo, and that is his name. He doesn't listen to this, but
No one
it
listens.
was our no. And hey, Shaniqua. But it was our year 11 biology camp. We looked forward to it. So, one, we made sure we were in the same, and it was down, I think, Evans Head or Evans Headway, northern New South Wales coast. And we had to go out to the mangroves and things like that. Now, we don't live by the beach, obviously. You guys did. We didn't. But they had the bus take us out there and then the bus take us home, except we came back because we were, dragging our chain and being a bit silly in the bush and running off into the bush to try and scare people and things like that. Yeah, we got back and the bus was gone, so we had no idea. Don't worry about the head. There was no head count back in the
No,
day, count how many kids were there. And so we're walking back in through the town, so we sort of it wasn't that difficult. We sort of. We've come from the bush, so you can remember where a lot of things are, landmarks and stuff. So, but we're going back through town as we're walking past the pub. Here's one of the teachers in there having a couple of beers. So he's looked at. So old mates in there have we've walked past and went, hang on a second. You walk past doors open. He's in having a beer. He's looked at us. We've looked at him, and he's just looked at us and just went, "You two sit on that chair out there and wait for me." So
He had a few more schooners.
he had a couple more beers. And we had to sit there and we had to then walk back with him. And he was like, "I'm not going to say anything if you're not going to say anything." Look, that's almost 35 years ago. I'm sure he's not even teaching anymore.
Or
But I tell
alive.
you, I tell you what, imagine that. Imagine that today there would be search parties, you'd have air sea rescue, you'd have everyone out,
They'd be
they'd be
talking to your
having,
parents on the news.
yeah, they'd be saying, yeah, well, they'd be hard talking to mine to be just two
Yeah.
hash boxes.
Yeah, but not when you were that age, not when you were 11.
No. Yeah, my dad would have just said, when you find him, let me know and I'll come and kick his ass, basically, for having to cause all that trouble. I would have wanted to stay lost if they would have told him. I would have wanted to just stay lost. But yeah, no, it was, I thought I would have mentioned that in this because that's one of the all-time great things that every now and then I'll have a catch up with Gibbo and we'll
Gibbo.
talk about that. Good old Gibbo. Yeah, but I tell you, we used to get up to a bit of mischief. Always used to get up to. I could tell you a thousand, and I'm sure you could tell a thousand stories as well about the things we used to do as kids. Like even at work over the years, you know, OH&S it has played a big part. And back when I was a kid, they really started to change the OH&S out in the farming industry where we were. And that's where a lot of the farmers, because, you know, these guys were immigrants through after the Second World War. And then they started, you know, having to make them, you know, look at wind directions and days and temperatures and mark down when they did X, Y, and Z. And these
Spray
guys,
logs
they
and
used to,
things.
yeah, they used to just do, like I've said, my old man used to make the spray up by scoops of hands and things like that. And he'd go, well, you know, if it was a bit windy, he'd be getting two rows of grapes instead of one when he was spraying them. But, you know, that sort of got them out. But yeah, I can see why they needed OH&S, and I don't disagree with it at all. Because back in the day, it was pretty loose.
Speaking of unsafe practices back at school, did you ever have much mischief happen around Cracker Night? So I think we've explained before that Cracker Night, or the one night of the year that you're allowed to let off fireworks, and you could go and buy them in the shops legally, and you could buy so many, and you could do all these things. And of course, kids, you weren't meant to have them if you're under 14 or something like that. But we always managed to get our hands on them, and we'd make, you'd slightly dismantle them and you'd wrap them up with electrical tape and turn them into bungers so they just made loud noises or blow up someone's letterbox. But did you ever have much mischief with them go on at school?
So in Queensland, when I was growing up, fireworks were illegal.
Oh, okay.
So like illegal, like it was a bit like the pokie machines, they were illegal. But I lived very close to the New South Wales border. So it was a matter of just having to go across the border,
Pick them up.
pick them up and come back. So we didn't take them so much. We used to make other sort of bombs out of cigarette light, you know, lighters and things like that. The cap gun, you'd get all the cap gun powder and stuff like that, but
I remember
or
one
maybe
year.
some gunpowder from bullets.
I remember one year because I'm pretty sure Cracker Night was done by the time I was sort of into a few years into high school. But I remember one year a couple of kids bought in some homemade bunger type things and dropped them in the toilets. And the toilet just it just sort of ruptured the line, and it didn't do any major explosion, but all of a sudden you just weren't allowed to use this toilet anymore. And suddenly the next day these three kids weren't there anymore, and that was the end of them. So, of all the things that went on, blowing up the toilets, that's enough to get you expelled from a Catholic school. A lot of other things didn't get you there, but yeah, blowing up a toilet was one of them.
Well, I suppose, you know, the they had to draw a line in the sand. I went to a state school, mate, and the state school was fed by up to grade. It was, you know, high school was grade 8 through to grade 12, but the local Catholic school went only from grade 8 to grade 10. And then they had to come over to the state high school. But all the primary schools out around the district used to come in, basically. So there was people on and off buses, mate. We used to just jump on all these different buses. If we wanted to go and stay at a mate's place, we'd just jump on a bus. And you weren't meant to do that. You meant to have notes and speak to teachers and all these sorts of things. But in year 12, you know, at lunchtime, back in the day, we used to go over and sit in the car and have a couple of cigarettes and used to get into trouble for that. But I you know, as long as you didn't do it on the school grounds, you didn't really get into too much trouble. But we used to go around pretending to drink a can of Coke with the cigarette in the in the can, so it looked like we were drinking. But
35 years later, mate, how'd that work out for you?
yeah, not good for my heart. But it's a story I can tell on this on Once When I Was Cool, the podcast. And look, it's what it is. I mean, I suppose I have to say, in the grand scheme of things, it was still a great it was a great childhood going through, up to your teenage years in. I can't say it was all bad. It was, yeah. I used to do some really crazy things. I used to do jumping off bridges up in Townsville. I jumped off the big bridge going into Townsville. I used to jump into the river there
That
and
was one
into
of the
the
summertime things. You'd have
all
somebody
those
on the
sorts of
other,
things.
if it was a big bridge, you'd have someone stand and look out on the other side to make sure there wasn't a boat coming that you were going to land in. Because I grew up
Yeah.
in a seaside town, so there
Well,
was always plenty of swimming options.
yeah, and we used to try and wait until the trains would come through and go across the train bridges and try and hang off underneath them. In the Lost Boys, how they used to sort of do that when they were hanging off the underside of the bridges. We used to try, or we'd go out and see if we could make it back in time before. So
Before
yeah,
getting
there was.
cleaned up.
Well, yeah, the more I think about it, I'm pretty lucky to be here.
And
There was
so are
lots
we, mate.
of, yeah,
We're
well,
lucky that you're
that's
here
right.
as well.
Well, there is that. There is that. But looking at it now, I don't know how if today's kids of that age and those teenagers would be. I know. I reckon maybe the middle one would be. He might have survived it,
Well,
but I
he's
don't know
about to
if
go
the
to
younger one.
Antarctica.
Yeah, well, yeah, for 14 months. But yeah, I don't think the younger one would have survived, and I wouldn't have liked
I don't think he would have
to
tried,
seen the
though. I
girl
don't
do.
know that generation. I don't know. She was a bit of a firebrand when she was about 15,
No,
mate.
yeah.
She was keen.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Anyway, on
Things,
that
certain
note,
things you want to put out of your head.
we've managed to get nearly 50 minutes out of that and not talk too much about safety at all. Once When I
Oh,
Was Cool
well, okay.
podcast
So
at gmail.com if you want to talk to us. Sorry, we've got one more apparently. Go on, hurry up. It's late. I'm going to bed.
No. I was just going to say safety. I just wanted to say safety because we hadn't obviously talked about
Safety. What is it? It's being safe. It's what plans need. On that note, thanks, Wee.
it.
Thanks very much. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. We'll catch you soon.
Bye-bye.